ಯಶೋಮತಿ ನಂದನ ಬ್ರಜವರ
Hare Krishna, my humble obeisances to all the devotees there at Scarborough. Vancha kalpataru bhayascha kripa sindhu bhayavacha patita nam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Ananta koti vaishnavrinda ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, apne apne gurudev ki jai. Jai. So, Hare Krishna, very happy to be among all of you. Thank you so much for inviting me to your Sangha for your Sunday program. So, today I've been given the topic to discuss about anger management. The goal of our life is to go back to Krishna. We want to go back to Goloka Vrindavan. And Krishna has already given the roadmap for that. He says in the 9th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, verse number 34, Manmana bhava mad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru mame vaishyasi yuktavaivam atma nam mat parayana. Krishna says, if you want to come back to me, then think about me, worship me, matparayana, you focus your mind on me, remember me. Now the whole point is, if you want to remember Krishna, that means Krishna should be in our consciousness, Krishna should be in our heart. But the present problem we have is there are so many other things in our heart. There's a traffic jam. There is kama, there is krodha, there is moha, there is lust and anger and greed and pride and jealousy and so many things in our heart. So there is a big traffic jam inside our heart. So how will we remember Krishna? So that is why we have taken up this topic today of anger. Anger management, because anger is also one of the anarthas in our heart which is occupying space. So if we can clear this all up, because unless and until we have a calm, cool, controlled, peaceful mind, how can we have loving disposition towards Krishna? If we want to love Krishna, we want to remember Krishna, we need to have cool and peaceful mind. That is why we need to work on our anger. And the other problem is, if we do not control our anger, then we cannot grow spiritually. We see in Srimad Bhagavatam, this episode comes about the four Kumaras. When the four Kumaras, they go to meet Lord Vishnu, and Jai and Vijay, they do not allow them to go inside. They get very angry and they start cursing Jai and Vijay with their, you know, very angry. They said, why you are not allowing us? Your master Lord Vishnu is so kind to the Brahmanas and so cultured and so respectful, but you being his guards are not in the same mood. You don't ought to stay in Vaikuntha. You must go down and stay in the material world. So they get so angry. So now what happens when they are bitten by anger? We see how these four Kumaras, they stay in the Shantarasa, among the five rasas, that is the Vatsalya rasa, the Sakya, Dasya, Madhurya and Shanta. Shanta is the lowest. So now those who are bitten by anger, it's very difficult for them to go from Shanta to different other rasa. So that is one thing why we need to work on our anger. Now it's not that people don't get angry, it's not that devotees don't get angry, it's not that Vaishnavas don't get angry, it's not that even the Lord gets angry. We see Lord Rama, he got angry on Sugriva. Why did he forget, you know, just enjoying 4 months of Chaturmasa, and he sends Lakshman. Lord Ram gets so angry. Lord Ram gets so angry on the Samudra Devta, and he's ready to, you know, with his bow and arrow. Lord Krishna gets angry. He gets so angry on Bhishma. He just takes out the wheel and he's ready to, you know, kill Bhishma. So Lord Rama gets angry. We see Lord Krishna gets angry. We see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gets angry on Jagai and Madai. You know, though he has decided this, that he's just come for Patita Pavana Uddhara, but he just takes his disc and he's ready to kill Madai. We see Hanuman gets angry. We saw Prabhupada getting angry. So we see, okay, that means, so is it okay to get angry? It's okay to get angry, provided you get angry on the right person, at the right time, for the right purpose, in the right situation, and most important, in the right proportion. What we are facing problem is not about getting angry. The problem we are facing is disproportionate anger, is what we are trying to work on, disproportionately getting angry. Right? So it's okay, nothing wrong in getting angry, but how much, when, where is what we are going to discuss today. Where does it come from? How should we see this anger is such, we can't kill it because it's coming, it's there in the Lord and we're getting those things, but we can manage it. The anger can be actually used positively, but even for it to be used, first you should know how to manage it, then only you can use it. I want to use this cell phone, I should know how to manage it. Otherwise, I can use the cell phone very positively for hearing Krishna Katha, but first I should learn how to manage it. Otherwise, I'll end up calling, I don't know what I'm doing with my phone. That's what we're going to do today, is learn how to manage the anger. How should we manage this anger? Where does this anger come from? Because if we can't manage it, we'll be in mess. What happened with Durvasa Muni? He got upset with a pure devotee of the Lord for small reason, Ambarish Maharaj. What happened to Rishi Sringa? He got angry on Parikshit Maharaj and he cursed Parikshit Maharaj. Right? What happened with Vishwamitra? He got angry on Ramba and he lost all his tapobala. So you can get angry at, for the right context, right purpose, right time, right person, right proportion, but first learn how to manage it, then you can positively use it. So where does this anger come from? Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita 3.37, Kameshu Krodheshu Rajaguna Samadbhava, comes from the Rajoguna. Basically anger, there's another name for anger. Anger is called Kamanuja. Just like you have Ramanuja means Anuja, younger brother of Ram, that is Lakshman, Ramanuja. This is Kamanuja, anger, means younger brother of Kama. Whenever there is an unfulfilled desire, anger will come. Lust, anger comes from lust and unfulfilled desire. So when you have a desire, it's not fulfilled, then anger comes. It's Kamanuja. It comes when we are in the mode of Rajoguna. Okay. That's correct. Where does it take us to? 3.37 says that it comes from Rajoguna, and 16.21 in Bhagavad Gita says it takes us to hell. Trividham narkasyedam. There is a dwaram. They are dwara to narka. Who are those three? Lust, anger and greed. They are three doors to hell. So it takes us to hell if we cannot manage it properly. So why do we get angry? This is the first question. Why do we get angry? First of all, where does this anger come from? Why are we getting angry? So here I have listed out today around 15 common reasons. There may be 100 other reasons. 15 common broad reasons why we get angry. The first thing we get angry is because of unfulfilled expectations. Unfulfilled expectations. I expected he should come on time. He didn't come. I'm angry. I expected she should cook paneer sabji today. She didn't. I'm angry. I expected I'll get a raise in my salary. I didn't get it. I'm angry. So this comes by unfulfilled expectations. We want something and that desire is not fulfilled. I'm just listing out what are the reasons for anger. I'm not telling the solutions. Solutions will come later on. We'll simply discuss where it comes from. Let's just discuss that part. So unfulfilled expectations. Because we are expecting something. maybe that is not the place to expect it. Like, you know, a mango tree can give only mango, but if you're expecting lime, sometimes we have like that unrealistic expectation. Not only unfulfilled expectations, unrealistic expectations. Sometimes you're expecting something from a wrong person. Maybe that person cannot give you that, but you want that from that person. And then you become angry because you didn't get it from that person. So unfulfilled expectation, unrealistic expectation. Our expectation is, nobody should cheat me in this world. Everybody should be nice to me. But this is material world. They'll cheat you. Oh, nobody should speak lie to me. Don't speak lie to me. Well, speak lie. This is Kali Yuga. Okay, that is the thing. We have so many expectations. Krishna himself says, Dukkha Layam Ashashvatam. But we think, I should be comfortable. I should face no misery. So this is one reason for anger. Another reason. Wrong assumptions. Why do we get angry? Because of wrong assumptions. Sometimes we just take things in face value and we become judgmental and we give conclusions. You know, whenever it comes to other people's situation, we become judge. When it comes to our lives, we become lawyers and start defending. But when it comes to other people, we are judge. I remember I was once flying from Coimbatore to Visakhapatnam, and in my seat next to me was a couple, husband and wife, and the whole journey, the husband was taking care of the little baby, you know, 3-year, 4-year-old, naughty child, making so much noise. Unfortunate for me, whenever I travel, I always make such great plans. I'll read book, I'll read Bhagavatam, but almost all the time end up having co-passengers who have little babies. And she was, the child was so naughty, making so much noise, and the father was struggling to take care of the child, you know, and the mother was nicely sleeping. All, you know, I had to go from, you know, via Hyderabad, so, you know, and all the while the lady is sleeping, and all the while I was thinking, my God, she's too much, you know, the guy is struggling with feeding the child, taking care, changing the diaper, and she never bothered, just taking happy rest. At the end of the journey, when we just landed and I was just taking my cabin baggage and all, you know, Hare Krishna, and we had some exchanges. So I was just telling the father, you know, the husband, I said, you are a very good father. And he turned to me and said, Mataji, I'm a good father, but my wife is a better mother than me. I got surprised. What way she's better? She was sleeping all the, and then he explained. He said, last few days my child has been suffering with heavy, you know, viral fever, and my wife hasn't slept, you know, at least for 3 days at a stretch she hasn't slept. She's been taking care of the child, and now the child has recovered and we are on the way, you know, to drop her to her mother's house. So immediately I corrected myself. Oh my God, I made so many assumptions in my mind. What a lady, she's not taking care of the child. But it was other way around. She's been taking care last 3 days without sleep, and just now she was taking rest. So wrong assumptions. Sometimes we just make wrong assumptions, and then that makes us angry. Maybe we don't even know what's the truth, and we just very quickly making some kind of a judgment. Other reason, conditioning. Sometimes we become conditioned like that. You know, I'll tell you, in a zoo, they once got a new bear, you know, the baby bear. So for the baby bear, they made a nice cage, 10 feet by 10 feet. So the baby bear was, you know, just learning and to walk, and it was enjoying, you know. When the baby bear started growing larger, you know, bigger, they shifted the baby bear to a bigger cage. Now it's an adult bear, so 40 feet by 40, big size cage, you know. But still, for a few days, the bear was walking very limitedly, only 10 by 10 space. Why? Because it became conditioned. That much space only I have to walk. Now, even though it has a bigger space to walk, its mind is conditioned to walk in that limited space. This is what happens to us. We have conditioned our mind. If he speaks like this, means it's correct. If he comes on time, we don't even know what must that other person going through. We are conditioned. This is how it's supposed to be. This is how the dal should look. This is how the sabji should taste. This is how the morning breakfast should be. This is how house should be clean. Everything, we have our own definitions and conditions, and we want people should set themselves inside our condition, our way of thinking. That's one problem which makes us angry. Other thing is non-communication. Why does anger come? Sometimes we haven't even communicated to the person properly, or that person, we haven't given him or her an opportunity to communicate with us, and we have started making so many assumptions. There is no communication, proper communication. You know, there is one husband and wife, a couple, they got newly married. Now this they don't know so much of each other, and they're newly married, and the husband, you know, early morning he has to go on a job. So he's telling his wife, you know, she's in the kitchen. He said, can you be a little quick to make my coffee, you know, otherwise, you know, and she's like, no, I'm just bringing it. And she just runs and brings the coffee. Can you make the water hot for my bath, you know, otherwise, you know, she's like, no, I'll just do it in 5 minutes. Now, every time the guy was threatening her like this. So once she goes and, you know, confesses this to her best friend, you know, all the time, you know, my husband, for everything, he'll say, otherwise, you know what I will do. Oh my God, I'm all the time on my toes, you know. So this lady was quite intelligent. She said, this time when your husband says that, you ask him, otherwise what? She said, okay. So she just took up all the courage. Next day morning, her husband said, can you make the hot water ready for my bath otherwise? So she came out from the kitchen and she said, yes, otherwise what? And he says, otherwise what? I'll take bath with cold water. I'll just take bath with cold water. What's that? No problem. So now she understood, oh, this is what he meant to say whenever he said otherwise. Oh, that is what he wanted to say. Otherwise, I'll take bath in cold water. That's all right. That is the thing. Non-communication. Oh, communication can sort out so many things. You know, like I was just telling, for everything we think this is should be the solution. We condition like that. Now, I was reading one beautiful article the other day. Let's say two children are fighting over a orange fruit. Okay. So now what we are conditioned to, conditioned to give judgment is, if two children are fighting over an orange, cut the orange in two pieces and give them half of their solid. We are conditioned, that should be the solution. But actually it was other way around. When the two children were given oranges, the child who got a half piece, he just took the pulp and threw the skin. And the other child, he took the skin and threw the pulp. Because he never wanted the pulp. He wanted the skin for making some experiment. And this child never wanted the skin. He wanted the pulp to eat it. Now, if there was a proper communication, okay, what do you want? What do you want? Then what we could have do is give the whole fruit to this boy and give the pulp to, give the skin to this boy. But we condition ourselves. This is the way solution should be. We don't give a third option, either this or this. There cannot be a third option. That also makes us angry. Our conditioning, non-communication, non-acceptance. Why do we get angry? Because we don't accept Krishna's plan. See, one thing, if something is happening according to our plan, we should be very happy. But if something is not happening according to our plan, we should understand that it's happening according to Krishna's plan. Because there are only two people here. There's no third person. Either it's happening according to your plan. If it's not happening according to your plan, it's happening according to Krishna's plan. Just accept it. If we have faith on Krishna and we understand that he's our well-wisher, then we'll not get angry. Why does a person get angry, anger, fear? All these are symptoms of not having faith on Krishna. What is fear? The difference between our plan and Krishna's plan. Krishna has a plan, we have a plan. And we think maybe our plan is not going to work, Krishna's plan is going to work, and that makes us fearful. Why fearful? Why can't we have faith on Krishna? Krishna is our well-wisher. So that makes us angry. That makes us angry when things don't go according to our plan. Non-acceptance of situation. We want situation to happen according to us. What's the other reason we get angry? Ego. Too much rigidity. Everything should happen according to my likes and dislikes. When I said this, it should be done. When does somebody get angry? When somebody has no empathy for other people's likes and dislikes. Maybe he wanted to do it that way. Maybe she wanted it that way. But we my likes and dislikes, my way or the highway. So when we have developed that kind of mentality, then we get angry. We are not ready to accept other people's opinions. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 7, there is this pastime of Ashwatthama, when Ashwatthama was caught, you know, because he killed the five Upapandavas, the children of Pandavas. So now, everybody was of different opinion. Draupadi and Yudhishthir said, let's forgive him. He's a Brahmana Putra, Guru Putra, let's forgive him. Bhima says, no, we should kill him. Krishna says, no, you should kill him. So everybody was having different opinions. Krishna, though he is a supreme personality of Godhead, still he did not say, but Are Baba, I am God, listen to my opinion. He said, no, everybody give opinion. What do you say? Everybody's opinion. And then those opinions were synthesized. And then finally they came to one conclusion, okay, let's kill him but not kill him. That means we don't physically kill him, but we insult him by taking away his javel. So like that, you know, we learn from Mahabharata, we learn from Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita how different devotees' opinions were respected. But we don't want to do that, so that makes us angry. We want to, everything should happen according to my likes and dislikes. The other thing that makes us angry is tendency to enjoy. We forget that Bhoktaram Yajyatapasam Sarvaloka Maheshwaram. Lord is the enjoyer. He is Sarvaloka Maheshwaram. We are not Sarvaloka Maheshwaram. Lord is, so everything will happen according for Lord's enjoyment, not for our enjoyment. We getting angry because we want to enjoy this world. Basically, just see all these reasons that I'm telling you. If you sit and meditate on any one particular situation or event where you got angry, and if you meditate, either one of these reasons will click. Either one of the reasons will click. Something like this has made us angry. Somewhere we wanted to enjoy. I wanted to have some more of that sweet rice. I wanted to have some more of that. I wanted situation like that. I wanted to go for yatra. I desperately wanted to go for that program. I wanted to be in the front when the Bhagavatam class happens. I wanted this to buy a house in that particular area. It's all our desire to enjoy. And if it's not fulfilled, then we get angry. So when our attempts to enjoy have been disturbed, then we get angry. So what are we supposed to do? Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Tam Titikshasva Bharata, Bhagavad Gita 2.14, said, tolerate that urge, you know, I want this, I want to enjoy. See, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 5.20, he says, when you get something that you like, don't become over rejoiced by it. Or when you get something which you like very much, don't get rejoiced. When you don't get, or when you get disappointed, don't get too disappointed, or, you know, just be sama, you know. Na prahashet, na prahashet priyam prapya, na dvijet prapya apriyam. Nistira buddhi asamudho brahmaved brahmani stita brahmaved brahmani stita. Krishna says that something, you know, when you get something that you wanted, don't get over rejoiced. When you don't get over disappointed. Just be sama, just be equipoised. After day, night will come, and after night, day will come. Nothing is permanent. So this over desire for enjoyment makes us angry, because if it's not fulfilled, then it makes us angry. Next, somebody may say, no, whatever reasons you told till now, that is not my reason for anger. Somebody insulted me very badly without my fault. Or somebody may say, it's not about insult also. Somebody cheated me very badly. I was so nice to that person. Or said somebody, you know, chastised me. Somebody, we may just come up with so many reasons. Neglected me. Somebody ignored me. We may say so many things. So that is why in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 18, Verse number 48, beforehand they have mentioned the symptom of a devotee in the pastime of, Parikshit Maharaj being cursed. This verse comes in that chapter, 48 verse. Says, even if a devotee is neglected, ignored, cheated, criticized, killed, he will never have that feeling of avenging. I will take a revenge. But Parikshit Maharaj, he never had that feeling of avenging. He was cursed by Sringi, but he never counter cursed. So these are the standard. It's lofty, definitely. Oh, it's so high. It's lofty. But that's the definition of devotee, and that's what we're trying to do. We want to become a devotee. We want to be called as Krishna's devotee. So, well, yes, it's quite high standard, but yeah, these are the ideal. So, devotee means he should be like that. So, even somebody insult, cheat and all, you shouldn't be getting angry. Why? How can we not get angry if somebody insults and cheat? That will come in the solution. We are just talking about what makes us angry. Because we want to be a controller. We want to be a controller. We forget that Vasudeva is a controller. Lord is a controller. We are not controller. What is in our control? Why are we having so much that? Why are we becoming so much control freak? What is there in our control? Even the greatest Yamaraj, who is a god of death, he also has limited jurisdiction. He can't have control over everybody. What Yamaraj tells in the pastime of Ajamila, he said, hey, be away from Krishna's devotees. I don't have any jurisdiction over them who chant Krishna's name. I have jurisdiction only on those who are sinful people. So even Yamaraj also, he has limited jurisdiction. But we think everything should be under my control. You know, Hiranyakashipu was so powerful. If he says sun has to rise, then sun will rise. If in the middle of the night Hiranyakashipu says, come on sun, you should rise, now the sun will rise. In the morning he says, come on moon, you rise, the moon will rise. Everything he was controlling. Indra was taking care of the horses. Agni, Vayu, they're cutting vegetables in Hiranyakashipu's kitchen. Shani and all, they are just, you know, below his pedestal where he sits on his throne, he puts his leg on. That much powerful he was. Whole world, he was three worlds he was controlling. All the devatas were under him. But his own son Prahlad said, you are not God, Vishnu is God. I'll pray to Vishnu. Could he control his son? He could not. He could control the whole world, but he could not control his son. But we think we should control everybody. Everything should be under my control as I want. Actually, what happens? We initially start small. First, we want to control our husband, or we want to control our wife. Then we want to control our children. We start having that feeling, oh, I am the king, my house is my kingdom, my children, my wife, they are my citizens, and everything is under my control, they listen and do whatever I say. Then slowly we want to control the community, then we want to control the whole world. I was just seeing, you know, other day one very rich man, he was just driving and going somewhere and the traffic policeman stopped him because the minister, a VIP, was passing through, so everybody had to stop for 2 minutes so that the minister can go. And this man got so angry, he got down from his car and he was ready to, you know, pull the shirt and collar of the traffic policeman. How dare you stop me? I have to go. You know, I have somewhere to go. I have an important meeting. And he said, sir, everybody has something important to do, but all are waiting patiently. Sir, please wait. Now, what has happened? He has made this as habit. Everything should happen according to me and my control. And now what is happening? Now he got so much used to that now he thinks he can control the traffic also, he can control the government also, he can control everything because he became a control freak. This is what happens. Slowly, slowly, we also start increasing our desire for controlling. First house, children, wife, husband, then start controlling more devotee community, then in temple, everybody should listen, devotee community, everybody should. And slowly, we want to control everybody who come in touch with us. If we can't control, anger arises. The other reason why anger comes, comparison, because unhealthy comparisons. He's having that, she's having that. Array, every jiva is unique. Don't compare. Everybody is unique. Everybody has. If we can start accepting that, things will be so easy. Everybody is made differently. The women are made differently. The men are made differently. Many times I tell in my classes, the women are more process oriented. The men are more goal oriented. The women, they enjoy the process, you know. Even if they make cook something, more than eating, they enjoy the whole process that goes in making it. More than shopping or buying a thing, they enjoy in the whole process that went about in that. And they enjoy sharing it with others. I went there, this happened, then I selected this sari, then this happened, then happened, this happened, they enjoy the narration. But the men, they don't enjoy that. If you see, if you tell all this to them, they'll get headache. They'll say, can you come to the point? Finally, did you buy the sari or not? Don't tell me the whole story, because they're more goal-oriented. Women are more process-oriented. This is not about anybody's strength or weakness. It's a nature. That's how we are made. Species. That's how the species are. The women are more aesthetic. They're more loving. They're more caring. The men are more logical. The women, they can do 10 things at a time. You know, a woman, she will manage the house and she'll manage the office, and then she'll still remember the children have to be picked up from school, and then she'll remember the curd and the milk has to be kept in the fridge and the clothes have been dried outside. 14 things she can do at a time. But if you ask men, if he goes to office, he'll forget what you told in the what is supposed to be done in the house. If he goes to house, he'll forget all. He'll forget, because at a time he can do only one thing. That's why you see mostly the men, they'll forget marriage anniversary, birthdays. They'll forget to pick up children from school. They'll forget that you ask him to bring some cucumber or coriander when he comes back from office. He'll forget, because he can do only one thing at a time. So made like that. They are made like that. We are made like this. But we compare, that makes us angry. Why can't my wife do this? But she's made like that. Why does my husband forget to pick up children from school? He's made, and then that makes us angry, because we're not ready to accept. So comparisons, wrong beliefs, wrong definition of success makes us angry and makes us do things which are wrong. I don't know about the West, but in India, this is regular. Children committing suicide, youngsters committing suicide because of some marks in some exam. One girl committed suicide. It was all in all the newspapers many years ago. Why? Because she got 97% out of 100, and she was expecting 99. And she said, how can I show my face? I thought I will top it, and now I got less marks, you know, and how should I show my face to my friends? And she committed suicide. Why? Because she had been taught a very narrow definition of success from childhood. This is what is success, she had been taught. So that is what is success for her. She thought this is success. And then she... See, success is not only in the trophy won. It is about the race that you run. Is it not? Let's say, for example, you've been selected in the international games to represent, you know, Olympic games to represent India. Now that itself is a success. After going there, if you win a silver or gold or bronze or not, that's all right. But the fact that you got selected out of so many hundreds of people to represent India is a success. So success is not only about the trophy won, it is about the race you run. So if we can start thinking like that, okay, this is a success, then there is no problem. But our definition of success is very narrow, or rather wrong definition. So we can go on and on, but then we won't be able to come to the solutions. So these are the various broad reasons why anger comes. Now somebody will say, oh, that's all right. So what? You know, let it come and go, and it's part of life, just like any other emotion. No, there are lots of ill effects if we don't work on our anger. I was recently reading a research made by the Yale University. They said that those who can't control their anger, their immune system becomes weak. Even the National Medical Association, they made a research. They said that those who can't manage their anger, they are 9% more prone to heart attack than others. So our physical health, blood pressure, diabetes, all these problems will come if we can't control our anger. So physical health suffers, mental health suffers. Yeah, mental we suffer if we are angry. Is angry person a happy person? Can anybody say he's a happy person? Basically, only thing that 24 hours he's angry, but otherwise he's a very happy person. Will you believe it? No. A happy person is a happy person. A happy person is not an angry person. An angry person is not a happy person. He's suffering. Somebody is getting angry means he's suffering so much from inside. So mental sickness, it's a mental sickness. You know, in a school in Japan, they made the children do a very nice exercise. They said, who are the other children who are studying in your class whom you don't like? Count them in the fingers. So all the children, they started counting. I don't like this girl, that girl. Okay, 2. Somebody said 4. Somebody said 7. And teacher said, do one thing. Boil potatoes. How many children you don't like in the class, that many potatoes you boil, bring it in a plastic cover, plastic bag tomorrow. So all the children brought the plastic bags tomorrow. Teacher, I brought 2 potatoes. Teacher, I brought 7 potatoes because I don't like 7 children in this class. And then teacher said, carry this bag wherever you go. You should not leave it for 1 second. Even if you go to the restroom, you should carry it. So the children started carrying the bag wherever they go. So then after that, when it's time to go home, children said, what should we do now? Then the teacher said, take it home and again bring it tomorrow and keep repeating it. After 3-4 days, the children were so tired. The child who was having only 1 potato was feeling blissful, but the one who was having 7 and 6 was feeling more miserable. And the potatoes are stale now and they're smelling bad. And then finally on the 5th day, children said, ma'am, we can't carry it anymore. Can we just leave these potatoes? It's becoming a burden. Then the teacher said, just like these potatoes are becoming a burden for you physically, when you carry wrong attitude and hurt feelings for others, they are a burden to your mind. You are unnecessarily carrying the weight. Give it up. Forget and forgive. Just give it up. Don't carry so much weight in your mind. So that is, so physical health it disturbs, mental health it disturbs, because you'll feel, you'll be always frustrated. Spiritual health it will disturb. If you're angry, what will happen? You will not have a proper loving disposition in your mind. It's not clean. It's not happy. Then you can't chant Krishna's name. A grateful heart and a happy heart can chant the Lord's name. If you're always angry and angry, how will you chant? So it disturbs your spiritual growth. So mentally, physically, spiritually, it's anger is toxic. Disturbs your relationships. Intellectual health. Somebody is angry all the time. He loses his intelligence. Can't make proper decisions, can't loses his focus. I've seen many times, you know, some devotees will say, I read Bhagavatam that yesterday only, now I forgot Mataji. Because you're already occupying your mind with so many things, there is no place for Krishna. So many ill feelings for other devotees, so many unnecessary burden you are carrying in your mind. Lose your focus, lose your intelligence. And over and above all this, what happens? Vaishnava Prath. With anger, what we end up doing? Committing Vaishnava Prath. Sometimes we express that anger on our devotees, co-devotees, in our community, in our house, and we are committing Vaishnava Prath. And if we commit Vaishnava Prath, we'll have to stay back here, can't go back to Krishna. So that is why we need to work on our anger. So can't change situations, but now we'll discuss solutions. How do we go about it? How do we manage this anger? Shall we express the anger? Finish it up. I got angry. I expressed it. I'm done with it. No, it's not going to help you. It's not like, you know, using your bathroom or restroom, you know. I want to attend a nature's call desperately. And I attended a nature's call. What will happen? After that, I'll feel happy and relaxed. So, okay, it is, that means it's natural. I should go, pass, you know, and then I'll feel happy. But is that happening with anger, that I got angry and I went and shouted on him? Now I'm feeling peaceful. Is it happening? No. When you get angry and you express it, you feel more miserable. And the other person feels more miserable on whom you have expressed your anger. That means expressing anger is not a solution. Okay, shall I suppress my anger? I'll somehow suppress it in my heart. That's not a solution. You are suppressing it, but somewhere inside you are pain. You are in pain. You somehow suppressed it. That means it should not be expressed. It should not be suppressed. You express it, other devotee will feel hurt. You suppress it, you will feel hurt because you want to say so many things. You are in rage and you have suppressed it. That means no suppression, no expression. Process it. Process your anger. How do we process it? The anger is what we are going to talk now. Spiritually, psychologically, practically, physically, how do you process your anger? So spiritually, what should we do with our anger? Associate with the right people. Take a proper association. Associate with people who bring in the best out of you. Like we see, you know, in Dhruva Maharaj pastime. Dhruva Maharaj's stepmother brought the worst out of Dhruva. All the negativity, anger and passion. And Dhruva Maharaj's mother, what she did, Suniti, she brought out the best out of Dhruva and made Dhruva a devotee. She gave proper directions and channelized Dhruva's anger and passion towards Krishna. Sent him to the forest and then he got Krishna. So this is what Dhruva's mother did, brought the best out of Dhruva. So associate with those people who bring the best out of you. Sometimes, you know, some people, they just bring the worst out of you. So right association. Read scriptures. When we read Srila Prabhupada books, when we read scriptures, then our awareness increases. Our perception changes. Context of understanding things will change. Now, as of now, I was very angry with this devotee for coming and talking to me like this, speaking, or I was very angry that this thing didn't work out for me. But when I read scriptures, then I know there is a divine plan of Krishna that is working. You know, Krishna has a plan for me. And when I'm in that awareness, I feel better. Then I don't feel angry because I know there is Krishna's plan here. So when you read scriptures, what happens? Also, when you read scriptures, Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, they bring us to the mode of goodness. And in mode of goodness, we can't be angry. Because we just heard, na, Kama Esha, Krodha Esha, Rajo Guna, Samadbhava. They come from Rajo Gun. So we should not keep ourselves in Rajo and Tamo. We should always try to elevate ourselves to Sattva Guna. Then no anger will come. So how to elevate ourselves in Sattva Guna? By chanting, by hearing, by reading. Then we are elevated to Sattva Guna. Then no anger will come. So when we read scriptures, then we get more knowledge. Oh, we understand about Krishna's plan. Also, we see when we read scriptures, we can see things in proper context. See, today this devotee comes and shouts on me very badly. And I feel very bad. I didn't do anything to him, and just see the way he, but on the contrary, let's say if that devotee has taken some drugs. You know, maybe he's under the influence of some drug. He's having high fever, or maybe he's just, or let's say somebody's drunk. You know, he's completely drunk and he comes and tells me anything. Will I feel bad about it? I'll feel it's okay. He's drunk. He only doesn't know what he's saying. So it's all right. Or if somebody's, you know, sick and he says something, what we feel? It's okay. He's sick. He doesn't know. You know, let's say somebody is, you know, mentally unstable and they say something to us, do we feel bad? It's okay, he's mentally unstable, right? Similarly, when we read scriptures and then when people around us react like that, we immediately understand it's all right, he's speaking under influence of Maya. We're all under influence of Maya, uncontrolled senses, it happens. What can be done? Everybody's under influence of Maya. We can immediately forgive them because we know, okay, what can be done? He's also trying. I'm also trying. We're all trying to control our senses, but Maya is very strong. What to do? He got defeated by Maya. So we can forgive immediately. So with scriptures, we can get that knowledge and we can see things in different perspective. So associating with the right people, reading scriptures, taking proper diet. Diet also influences a lot on anger. We take sattvic diet and not lot of masala food, and it'll help us to control our anger. So take the proper diet. Follow the four regulative principles. It sounds very simple. Okay, yeah, we are all following four regulative principles. Yeah, but that helps. If somebody is strictly and purely following, it helps to control anger. And then, of course, what kind of things that you are taking in is very important. You know, the Giga principle, garbage in, garbage out. What goes in, comes out. So just be very selective on what kind of content you are watching, hearing, reading. That influences a lot. You know, when we were young, we used to say different kind of cartoons, you know. Now, this generation of children, the kind of cartoon they watch are so violent. In the cartoon figures also, they're killing each other. The games also that they play, you know, in their video games they play in their cell phones are about killing, hitting, killing, hitting, and bloodshed. And that's what they've been fed from, you know, young children, 2.5, 3 years old also. They're playing games where they're hitting somebody, killing somebody, blood is coming out, and they're so happy about it because that's the games they've been given. So we have to be very careful what kind of content, not only for children, for even for adults, what are we watching, hearing, seeing, what we are taking in, that comes out. If you're always reading the nice pastimes of different Vaishnava Acharyas, how they were so forgiving, how they were so kind, how they were so compassionate, so courteous in their dealing, you know, so forgiving, then we're inspired in the same way. But if you're reading wrong contents, you know, watching Bollywood movies of angry young man, how the hero is bashing up and killing everybody, and, you know, he has no control of senses, and then you're like, wow. And then what happens with the youngsters? They want to become like him someday. So it's about what we are reading. Second thing is avoid triggers. If you understand, okay, from whenever I meet this person, you know, I get angry, you know, something inside me, avoid triggers. See, then you will say, but how do I know, you know, that this person is, you know, I just met him and then I got angry. Okay, at least second time it will not happen. Whenever, let's say you are going in a car also, you know what happens? Sometimes in the car, you know, there are some potholes and you are jolted. But second time you are careful. Oh, whenever I take a right from this exit, there is a pothole there. Of course, it doesn't happen in the West, but in India, there are potholes everywhere in all the roads. So we become used to, okay, you take a right from this lane, there is going to be a pothole. So next time we don't get jolted. We are careful when we are driving. So that's it. When we are dealing with a particular devotee and we see, oh my God, when I talk to him, I'm triggered, you know, my Krishna consciousness is not inspired. Be away from those triggers. Second thing, on a psychological level, I'm getting so angry. I need to do something. Somewhere I need to vent it out. What should I do? Write down. That's something you can do. You write down, you know, make a journal. You have some diary. Or you don't have a diary, at least on that particular day, why did you get angry? When you start writing. Or if you want to get angry on that person, write it down. You write it about him. You are you are stupid. You are foolish. You are this. You are that. You just type it out. Or type out an angry email. Just make sure you don't give it to him. Just make sure you don't send it. Just write down whatever you want to. And then after 24 hours, again read it. And then after 24 hours, again read it. And then you will understand, well, actually, it's not completely his fault. Actually, I was also at fault. Oh, it's not that he only thought like that. Maybe I would have also done like that if I was in his place. And then you will see slowly, it'll all make sense. It'll all make sense. So that is one thing you can do. I know there was one husband and wife. They always had regular fighting, so much so that they used to shout on each other, you know, on the top of their voices, and the neighbors got so frustrated. Finally, this husband and wife, they went to a sadhu. They said, you know, our apartment also, everybody is complaining, but don't know, we both have such angry, short-tempered nature. We always, all the time fighting and shouting at each other. He said, that's 2 days, I'll sort out the problem. He said, really? Okay, so what should we do, Swamiji? So he said, okay, you continue your fighting, both of you. As you are fighting, you fight. Only thing is, the rule is, you can't shout and you can't talk. You fight by writing. So when you get angry on your wife, you write down whatever you want to write and you give it to her. And whenever she gets angry, she'll write down. Like that, you pass notes and you continue. After some time, your anger will come down. So they said, okay, we'll follow as Swamiji says. So the next time when they were in a fight, you know, the husband was about to shout on her. And he remembered, no, I can't shout. I should write it. So he wrote down, you are stupid and foolish and this. And he gave it to his wife. And then his wife read, but you are equally stupid and you are equally this. And she, after 2-3 writing, they got bored of writing. Who's going to write? Forget about it. Okay, I'll leave it. Because that's not giving them that joy, you know, that shouting and yelling was giving them some, you know, some kind of a feeling. But now writing, we said, forget it. Who's going to write? Leave it. So like that, you know, you can do some kind of an exercise. Third thing, pause. Whenever there is anger building up, the first and the foremost solution the whole world around is giving, apart from scriptures and different other researchers and sociologists and different other motivations, everybody's talking about this one thing that it works as a magic, is pause. Simply pause. You are angry, you want to say something, pause. If you pause for some time, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, divert your mind somewhere and then come back to it. Just tell your mind. Your mind may say no, but you need to shout on him. Yeah, okay. You tell your mind, yeah, I'm going to shout. I'm not going to leave him. I'm definitely going to shout on him, but after 5 minutes. Just I need 5 minutes time and then I'm going to shout on him. And that 5 minutes will be magic. It'll change so many things. Then you'll become more, it'll make sense. Whatever you speak also will make sense. So that is one thing. Pause. And then later on, see, sometime there is a moment of storm and there is a moment of calm. Sometimes in the moment of storm, you can't sit and evaluate, you know, or what is happening, why is happening. At that time, the only priority should be somehow pause. But then during the moment of calm, when now it's over, that episode over, then you should sit and evaluate what exactly happened, who exactly made mistake, why did this happen? You should sit and evaluate. See, if you allow the anger to happen, you know, sometimes some people think, what will happen, Mataji? Somebody getting angry, let him shout at least once and for all, it's over. No. What you're basically doing is you're feeding your anger. You're feeding your anger and it becomes more stronger. And then it becomes your samskara. It will become your habit. And habits die hard. It will become a habit. So once you got that, you know, that opportunity, it's okay to shout. It's okay. You know, my things are getting done. Whenever I'm getting angry and shouting, you know, people are around me are they're becoming afraid and they're doing my job. And then what that becomes, your job may get done. I don't deny. Sometimes in your office and all, if you show your anger and everybody's terrified and they'll start making their whatever presentations or whatever assignments and they'll come on time and do it. Yeah. But your consciousness is gone. Slowly, it'll become a habit for you. You know, completely your consciousness will be disturbed. Your work may get done temporarily, but your consciousness will be disturbed. So you have to understand what's your priority. So like that, you have to, it should not become your samskara. Then it will be so difficult to give up. Initially, you will be only angry on your subordinates or only your family members. Slowly, you will start getting angry on new people also. Then slowly, you will start getting angry on strangers also. Then slowly, you will start getting angry on anybody and everybody. Then you are reading newspaper also, you will start getting angry. Hey, this fellow doesn't know how to write it, what he wrote. Then you will get angry on anything you say, you will start getting angry. It is a disease. If you don't control it, it will go on expanding. And then you'll be in terrible pain. So all the time you are angry and unhappy. Cultivate forgiveness. Cultivate forgiveness. Do you get angry on postman? Because sometimes postman brings good news that you got a promotion. Of course, nowadays everything is by email. But those were the days. The postman used to bring a money order. You know, he bring 100 rupees and 500 rupees. Oh, you become so happy. So when the postman brings 500 rupees or let's say postman brings some good news, do you hug him? No, you don't. And the postman brings some really terrible news for you. Somebody in your family died. So do you start beating him up? You man, why did you bring this bad news? You can't, because postman is simply carrying, you know, your goods and giving it to you. It's not his. This is what is happening to people around us. The way they are talking, speaking, behaving with us is our own karma. They're just a nimitta. They're just a carrier and we get angry on them. See the way he's behaving. But that's the way you behaved with him previously. It's just giving back to you. So if you have this one mantra fixed in your mind, my karma, my fault, oh, you'll be blissful. My karma, my fault. My goods is delivering it to me. What's the point of getting angry on the postman? Personally, I like this line by Jiva Goswami, you know, where he says, all these people in the world are so nice. All these good people in this world are forced to behave badly with you because of your karma. So we should remember this. All these good people in this world, they're forced to behave badly with me because of my karma. My karma was like that. That's why they are behaving. And when we are in that awareness, then we can't get angry. We won't get angry on anybody. Okay. Now somebody may say, you know, it's easy to say this, but sometimes I feel so bad when, you know, I didn't do anything absolutely wrong. Okay, something about my previous birth, all right, but, you know, completely naive and innocent and nice, and see the way people are treating me now. Let me tell you, the scriptures say there are three people in this world who are innocent, but they have to suffer: a deer, a fish, and a devotee. A deer is completely innocent and a harmless creature, you know, simply it'll eat grass. But the hunter attacks the deer. Has the deer done anything wrong to the hunter? No, but the hunter attacks the deer. Even the fishes, you know, innocent beings, just enjoying and, you know, swimming inside the water, eating food. Has it done wrong to anybody? Anything it has done wrong to anybody it has harmed? No, but the fisherman will catch the fish in the net. Similarly, devotee. Devotee does not harm anybody, but still he is being disturbed by others. So this is what scriptures say, the devotee will be disturbed by others. So if you are a devotee, you will be disturbed by others. Be prepared for that. Be prepared. Everything you can't change in this world, this you have to accept. Certain situations you have to accept, you have to tolerate. That is what Krishna says. Just be tolerate. Just like, you know, what it says, Matra Sparshastu Kaunteya. Just like, you know, you have to tolerate winter, summer. Similarly, you have to tolerate like these situations, you know. This is the material world. So one should be convinced of that. Then there will be no anger. So we can't change certain things. For example, you can't change your boss. Let's say you have a boss who is very short-tempered, or you have a temple president who is, you know, or you have somebody in your community, or you have some senior Vaishnava, or you have somebody in your family, or you have somebody in your, you can't do anything about it. So when you can't cure, you know, then just endure. Just endure. That's it. You have to tolerate. Right? Next, some devotees may now at this point say, but Mataji, for everything, if you say tolerate, you know, certain times we have to talk, otherwise they'll take advantage. Yeah, yeah, okay. If you become too passive, people may take advantage. If you become aggressive, you're spoiling your consciousness, but you can be assertive. Like that, I won't go to that pastime of Narad Muni and snake, the snake disciple. Narad Muni said, don't bite, but you can hiss. So yeah, as devotees, you know, whatever I'm saying in principle, sometimes there are some exceptions based on time, place, circumstance and situations where you can, you know, you can sometimes say something as and when required. See, the whole point is, from the beginning of this class, I've been telling one thing. You want to show anger, show. Right place, right time, right purpose and in the right proportion. This proportion is very important. What Indra did, why Krishna got angry on Indra? Because the Vrajavasis were not worshipping Indra. So what Indra could have done is, okay, I'm angry on them because they did not worship me, I won't give rains. So they will have a famine, there is no rain, so there will be no agriculture. Okay, they will suffer for 1 year. That is a good punishment. But Indra said, they don't worship me, I kill them. I'll send the Samyataka clouds and I will kill them. So his anger was not in proportion. It was disproportioned. That should not happen. This devotee did like that, I'll just destroy him. That's not the way. It should be in proportion, whatever is required for the situation to correct it. But it should not be disproportionate. That is what is our whole focus. Okay. Give benefit of doubt. Then you won't get angry. Benefit of doubt. Sometimes we just make conclusions. Array, that devotee is late today for seva. Just ask him. Don't start immediately shouting. Maybe his mother was not well. Maybe he got late. Maybe water was not there in the bathroom. You know, there's no water coming, so he couldn't take bath. Maybe there was a traffic jam. Or maybe his health was not good. Or maybe he didn't know what was the time. So many things. Give benefit of doubt. Don't immediately get angry, you know. Also, sometimes, you know, they are in different frame of mind. Sometimes some devotee, whenever they say something to us, which we feel offended, maybe they don't mean it. I'll tell you, if you're from Indian background, you can relate to this. You know, in India, they're so big fan of cricket. Even in villages where there is no TV, people will be all hooked on the radio, you know. Every ball that the cricketers are hitting, 4, 6, you know, what is happening continuously. And especially the youngsters, they get so engrossed in it. Even while they're walking on the road and all, they're continuously, you know, in the earphones, they're listening to the cricket commentary. And then they start imitating like as if they are cricketer, you know. They'll start bawling, they'll start batting on the road only. They'll do all that, you know, but actually they're just hearing. Now imagine if somebody doesn't know about this and you are walking on the road and you see one young man coming in the front and seeing you, he's just showing like this. And you may think, hey, do you want to hit me, man? He doesn't want to hit you. He's not even looking at you. He's hearing to that cricket commentary. So according to that, he's acting. 6, 4, the ball has hit 4, the ball has hit 6. And we think that, oh, maybe his same thing is happening in our day-to-day life. Sometimes that person doesn't intend to harm you or hurt you or insult you. Maybe he's in a different frame of mind. He's thinking something else. And then, by the way, unconsciously he said that. He didn't mean to hurt you. But now you just take it as an offense. Why did he say this? Why did he do that? So just check, you know. Maybe they're in different frame of mind. They're just thinking something else. So give benefit of doubt. The other thing is, don't take this material world so seriously. That's what is making you angry. What he will think about me, you know, my daughter did like this, you know, just see the way my wife cooked, you know, just see the way my husband gave the class. What will they think? What will he think? Don't worry so much about this material world. Even if you are the 100% best also, they'll always have something to say. You know, my favorite story which I, you know, very much like, you know, when I was very young, my mother told me this story, and I never forgot about the donkey and the old man and his son. How a old man and his son, they go to a market and they buy a donkey. And then when they buy a donkey, and they're just walking with the donkey, so everybody who passes them, no, they criticize. So foolish they are. They purchased a donkey, but they're not even sitting on the donkey. Both are walking alongside the donkey. How foolish they are. So immediately they thought, really? People are thinking we are foolish? So they immediately sat on the donkey. Then some more people who passed from the market, they said, how cruel they are. Both father and son are sitting on the poor donkey. Poor donkey is suffering. Then they thought, okay, maybe father alone should sit. Then they said, father is so cruel. He's happily sitting on the donkey and the poor son, you know, little boy is walking. Then the son sat and father started walking. Then the people said, see how the son is so selfish. He's happily sitting on the donkey and the poor old man is walking. Now they got frustrated. They tied the donkey's leg, and both the father and the son, they carried the donkey with a stick, you know, and they tied the donkey, you know, upside down. Then the people said, how foolish. They purchased the donkey, but they're carrying the donkey home. So ultimately they got so frustrated, they left the donkey on the road and they ran away. Because whatever we do, people are criticizing. So this is how the material world is. Don't take it so seriously. No matter what you do, people will criticize. Even if you are the best person in the world, still there will be somebody. Shishupal could find out 100 faults with Krishna. So definitely people will find out fault with you and me. So don't expect that, no, you know, don't be a perfectionist. How can they tell like this about me? I'm always on time. I'm always perfect. I do my seva on time. No, this is all again false ego. That is why the first thing, that if we don't want to get angry, na, we should remove the sensor of false ego. We have fitted a sensor here, you know, false ego sensor. And now what happens when the sensor is fitted? Now people, now they enjoy with the remote control. Na? Every time they'll say, you want to see him angry? Just now, wait, I'll make him angry. 1 minute, just press this. Hey, see, he got angry. Press this button, he'll get angry. I have a remote control in my hand. I'll go on, I can make him angry, I can make him sad. It's in my hand. Don't do that. Remove the sensor. Now even if I press so many buttons, nothing will happen. Remove the sensor of false ego from your heart. The other thing we can do is count your blessings. Why do you get angry? Because you're not grateful. If somebody is grateful, they'll not get angry. Even if things don't go according to their plan, they'll think it's okay. So many things are going according to my plan. If this one thing doesn't go, it's all right. Krishna is so kind. So then count your blessings. When you count your blessings, you'll not get angry. And one tip I can give you, if you want to cultivate this habit of being grateful, every day have an exercise. Today, 5 people I meet, I'll compliment them. Whether in my temple community, in my workspace, in my house, just about 5 people every single day you should compliment. Make it like a rule, you know. You get inside your office, if there is nothing to say, just tell him your shirt is looking good. This color suits you. It's nice. Just going, you know, after breakfast, tell your wife, it was nice. Today's dosa was perfect, amazing. I just meet your boss, say something nice. Meet your colleague, say something nice. You don't get anybody, just a lift man, you know, when you're going in the office in your lift, or say hello. You're looking good today, huh? You're looking good, nice, you know. I can see that. Or something like that. Like that. 5 people every single day you compliment, and you see your life will change. You think you're making their day by giving them compliments, but you yourself will feel so energized when you're praising others and appreciating, and you know, and because it's a challenge, right? Every single day you have to appreciate and see some good quality in them, and that will make you a beautiful person. And always seeing good in others and complimenting them. So that we can do. That will reduce our anger. And give up unhealthy comparisons. A bird can fly, a fish can swim. A fish cannot fly, and a bird cannot swim. Unhealthy comparisons makes us angry. Whatever we can do, this is our capacity. Maybe I can sing beautiful kirtan, but I can't give good class. Maybe I can give good class, but I can't cook. Maybe I can cook, but I don't know how to decorate deities. Maybe I can decorate deities, but I don't know how to do kirtan. Maybe I can do good kirtan, but I don't know how to wash pots. So it's okay. You can't know everything, you know. Just because that devotee is making so nice Raju Bhog, don't don't get upset. She's making so nicely and I'm not able to do it. And that again makes us anger. Why? Unfulfilled expectations and unfulfilled desire will bring again anger. That's all right. She cooks very nice rajbhog, but I also make very nice deity dress. That's all right. Okay, I can sing for Krishna. That's all right. I can paint for Krishna. Or maybe I'm a little shy, but I can write for Krishna. I write good blogs. Or maybe I'm a good parent. I can train children in Krishna consciousness. So like that, just see what you're good at and that's it. Be happy. Forget about unhealthy comparisons. Learn to accept failures. What is making you unhappy is failures. You should learn. In that, we have to teach our children also. Because only thing that we are teaching them is success, success, success. And then when failure comes in life, they are shattered. No. Learn to accept failure. It will happen. Whatever I'm trying to do, Rath Yatra or organizing some program or Janmashtami or my personal life, it may work out. It may not work out. Be mentally prepared on either sides. Then there will be no anger. From beforehand, you should be prepared. Not only that, you should give space for other people's mistakes also. You know, most of the time we get angry because we feel, I told him to be on time at 4 o'clock, but he didn't. I told him to be there, but he didn't. So the whole point is, you know, in India, when you drive, the first thing that the driving teacher will tell you, keep space for other people's mistake. Because in India, the driving sense and the traffic sense is so poor. Even if you are a perfect driver, the other person in front of you will put brake without informing, without giving you signal, will take a right without even giving you a right signal. And even when you are parking car, they may just bump into your car. So what we do, those who are expert drivers, we always leave space for other people's mistake. That means never get too close to a car. Maintain fair distance so that even if he makes a mistake, he'll not bump into you because you're quite far from him. Do that. Even when you are dealing with people, be prepared. I have told this devotee to come at 4 o'clock with prasadam. But in case if he doesn't come, let me tell him to come at 3:30 beforehand only. Let me give that half an hour because in case if he misses, in case if there is a traffic jam, in case if he's not able to make it, okay. In case if he doesn't come, I'll tell that Prabhuji also to be ready. I'll keep my third option ready. So like that, what I'm doing is, I'm mentally preparing myself for that devotee's mistake also. He may come late, he may not be able to deliver, keep my third option ready. Or sometimes we have not communicated to him properly. Or sometimes we have given service to the wrong person. Maybe he's not that much capable, but now we are expecting that he has to somehow do it. Maybe that's not his capacity. He can't do that beyond that. And now we are angry. Why isn't he doing it? But that is his capacity. That much only he can do. All these things. So don't expect perfection. Accept whatever they're able to do. Learn to accept failures. Reduce your expectations from devotees. Don't expect too much from them. Everybody has limited capacity. Give up enjoying propensity. You are not an enjoyer. Remember all that. Do little bit austerity. Even if your mind says, but I want to enjoy. Even if I understand philosophically that I'm not an enjoyer, but I'm having a feeling to enjoy. So understand austerity. 17.14, Bhagavad Gita 17.15, 17.16, austerity of speech, austerity of mind. Yeah. Temporary inconvenience for permanent convenience. Little bit of austerity. Yeah. Even if you have that urge, little bit you have to tolerate. And make spaces in your house called no anger zone. Like, you know, you have in public spaces, no smoking zone. You should have your spaces in your house. No anger zone. If you come into this room, even if we both were fighting, you know, tooth and nail in that room, the moment we entered this room, we can't fight. It's no anger zone like that. You know, I remember my mother. She was a very smart lady. My younger sister, she was a little short-tempered, you know. So my mother, now instead of telling her not to get angry, now my mother will say, hey, you just got up from sleep, huh? You can't get angry. Because the scriptures say, as soon as we get up, we should not get angry. So okay. Hey, when we are leaving home, we should not get angry. When we just enter house, we cannot get angry. When we are just about to sleep, we cannot get angry. Before eating, we can't get angry. During eating, we can't get angry. After eating, immediately, we are not supposed to get angry. Morning, we are not supposed to get angry. It's a sattvic time. Or evening, we should not get angry. Lord Shiva will be going, no? In late evening, cannot, because sun is setting, no? Sun is watching. Like that, she keep on doing, you know, you don't, I'm not asking you not to get angry, but during this time, you cannot get angry. Now, where is the time to get angry then? You know, like that. So make those no anger zones in your house. Other thing is communicate. Are you dealing in the same currency? That's a question mark. Sometimes you are dealing in different currency. You know, it happens with me all the time, you know, because I've been giving classes for international devotees and they will tell me this EST time, you know. And then sometimes we just put the same thing for our devotees also. And then they end up joining in EST time because we have forgot to tell them the IST time, you know, what is the Indian standard time my class will be telecasted. And there's so many times there are clashes and then the devotees complain, we were waiting at 7 o'clock in the evening. Aray, the class was in the morning, Baba, this is EST time. So check out, are you dealing in the same time? Are you on the same page? Are you dealing with the same currency? Maybe I was talking about rupees and you were talking about dollars and then we misunderstood each other. So don't do that. So are you on the same page? Communicate. Sometimes the anger is coming because of that only. You don't even know what the other person is thinking or talking. You are on some other page. And that's about it. The last thing is, okay, now even after hearing all these things, what we can do? Can we completely remove anger? No. We can manage it. We can use it in service of Krishna. Like Narottam Das Thakur says. What he says? Kama Krishna Karmarpane Krodha Bhakta Dveshi Jane Lobha Sadhu Sangha Harikatha. So we can dovetail our anger in Krishna's service by getting angry on those who are dveshi, those who are against the devotees. We can dovetail our anger towards them. We can dovetail our lobha towards sadhu sangha. We can dovetail our karma towards serving Krishna. Of course, this is such a huge topic that even if I speak for another hour, I don't know if I can do justice. You know, there are so many things that are coming to my mind which we can do to stop anger. But with one point I can end here, since we are running out of time, is pray to the Lord. Pray to the Lord. He can help us. So we sincerely, if we are suffering with this anartha, just pray to the Lord. That Lord, this undercurrent of anger, this anartha is so high in me and only you can do something. So we make our endeavor. We follow all these tips in our life. At the same time, we surrender and pray to Lord Shri Shri Radha Damodar that please help us to control this anartha and please engage me in seva of Guru and Krishna. So with this, I'll end it here. Thank you so much, devotees. It has been a very, very long talk. Thank you very much. I'll end it here. So with a prayer to the lordships that we all can come out of all these anarthas and blissfully serve Guru and Krishna the way they desire, the way that pleases them. Thank you so much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Hare Krishna. Okay. What I understand the question is, as I could hear, is that all these classes that we have heard will not come in our mind when we are angry. The only thing that will come in our mind is grudge. Yeah, you are right. I completely agree to you. That is why we had this class today, because the more we hear and hear, you know, and keep on regularly hearing, and then there will be some change. See, I'll tell you, even today after hearing this class, you know, tomorrow if there is some situation which will trigger you and you may get angry and you may end up shouting. But you know what will happen? You will start becoming conscious now because you have heard about it, right? Okay, this anger is not good for me. So even if that moment you cannot control, after that you will understand, oh, I shouldn't have done that. And then you will contemplate over it. And slowly and steadily it will happen. The frequency will decrease. You can see the graph. You know, just like you see that corona graph, how it's going slow, come down, 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 going up, up, up. You see that graph? Like that you should see the anger graph also, you know. Sometimes maybe before hearing the class, if you're getting angry maybe every day, now you'll start getting angry once in a week. Then you'll start getting angry once in a month. So the frequency will decrease. So what you can do is you can maintain a journal. So whenever you get angry, now today I got angry at 9:30 on this person. What were the causes? Write down. And then again, next time you get angry, you write down. You maintain a diary and you'll see, yes, slowly it'll go down. So immediately it'll not happen. You have to give on, you know, reinforcement. The more you will hear, the more you will hear slowly. At least now you are conscious of it, you will be conscious that I'm getting angry, you know, and then slowly the graph will come down. So this is what will happen. But this, we are trying, you know, even if we are not 100% successful. In no endeavor or nothing that we do, you know, immediately one day we don't become devotee, right? Even if we chant 16 rounds, in one day we don't chant purely. There is Nama Abhas and Nama Parad and Shuddha Nam, right? Slowly. So like that in these also, Anarthas also, when we deal with them, one day we can't become expert because millions and millions of lifetime we've been carrying this samskaras, you know. In one day we'll not become pure and clean. But definitely, slowly and steadily, the more you reinforce, the more you hear, follow all these tips, keep yourself in sattva guna, pause, all that practical tips that I have given, and definitely reduce the frequency and it will reduce the intensity. You know, this time you may not be able to get that angry. So try out, since you heard the class today, you try out. The next time you get angry, just check yourself, has the intensity, how is the intensity?
सब कृष्णा 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 लगे सब कृष्णा 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 लगे सब कृष्णा